I've already heard 7 inches. So if you want to add or take away some, feel free to do so. Get your skis out, get your sled out, get the runners all ready. And if you see this parking lot out here covered over with ice and snow Sunday morning, I wouldn't advise you to walk on it. The song that we just sung, I ran across that song this week, and it's based on, I'm sure the basis for that song had to be Psalm 139. The last time I spoke about this subject of prayer and some of the thoughts that I shared with you, I'd like to, without being repetitious, you know, Paul's motive in his prayer for the saints at Colossae is no question about it. He was very clear as to why he made that prayer the way he did. If you read in that 10th verse, his reason for wanting them to be filled with the knowledge of the will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding was that they might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing. Now, I do believe people that are spiritual have more power in prayer than someone that's carnal. A carnal Christian can offer up a prayer, maybe a very pretty prayer. But indeed, it's something I'd just like to touch on today based upon not the inspiration that I had regarding searching of soul by the Spirit of God, but for another reason. Because even believers are not inclined to sometimes want to search their souls. I say this very kindly, they don't want to find out how bad it is. I know that I have something hidden in my heart. I know I'm doing something contrary to the mind and the will of God, but I don't want to be reminded of it. Because I have no intentions of changing. And that indeed is a sad, sad thing. We made mention of the fact that material things and asking for things sometimes dominates the things that we ask for at a prayer meeting. I'm not critical of that. If people are hurting, they want prayer. Joan Wheeler, I talked to her this afternoon. She likes the idea of us praying for her. She wants to go home, and she said she might go home Friday. She does recognize that there's some good could come out of what has happened to her. And she welcomes that. I'd like to see that happen. But too often, a prayer meeting, it can get to the point that people are just asking for what they want. You know the story that's told, I heard it a long time ago. A believer had a neighbor, and they both went to the same meeting, but one of them rarely ever went to the prayer meeting. But he never stopped asking him to go with him to the prayer meeting. And he reported that on one occasion when he asked him, "Come on, go with me to the prayer meeting tonight." He said, "I don't know, I don't think so. Can't think of a thing I need." You know, if you had that attitude in your heart about prayer, your need, you would certainly be a self-centered person. And everything in life probably pretty well revolved around you and your needs. But Paul, in his prayers for the church at Colossae, had a real solid reason for telling them that he was praying for them and why he was praying for them. In my life, your life, or any other person that says he's a Christian, and what Paul prayed for, being able to see them walk worthy of the Lord. I've often weighed in my mind, how can I possibly measure up in my own life as hard as I try? How can I ever possibly walk worthy of Him and what He has done for me? But Paul believes that if we sought after the Lord and we gain that wisdom that comes from God, and you know, that is a wonderful thing to seek after, and that is some wisdom from God. To have knowledge of what He's all about and know Him. I think someone ministered here, a knowledge of Him, the power of His resurrection. I tell you, resurrection power is awesome. Raising the dead, putting life back into something that is lifeless. That's awesome power. Paul wanted them to walk worthy of the Lord, keeping in mind that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord likes that. He loves that. He wants His people to seek after and have a desire in their heart to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And to keep in the mind of believers that we're to be fruitful in all the good works that we undertake, the things that we do for God. We want to see it come to fruition. We want to see some results from what we're doing. And He has His way of encouraging us, again, increasing in our knowledge of God. Peter, in his second epistle, that last chapter 3, closes it, that we would grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How often have we prayed for that? How often have we prayed that we, every one of us, it comes to this prayer meeting, a prayer that we would grow in grace. Be as gracious as the Lord Jesus was. Grow in grace and knowledge to know Him. The intimacy of fellowship with God is something that we don't count as valuable as it really is and could be to us. We'll discover in just a minute, I think, the reason why I selected that hymn. Search me, O God. You know, people that are in police work, they can't just walk into somebody's house and search somebody's house. They have to have a reason, and they have a piece of paper that was drawn up downtown, and he has a warrant. He has a paper that says, I have the right to search your house. You belong to God, don't you? I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. Doesn't he have the right, and shouldn't we give him that privilege that's his to search us? Would you let God search you intimately, go down deep in your soul, and that thing that you know right now, or I know right now, you don't know about it, But I know about it. And you know about whatever it is in your mind and soul. You don't tell anybody. You don't even like to think about it yourself. Would you let God come in by the power of the Spirit of God and search your soul? I welcome you. You come in. I know you'll detect it right away. I know how sensitive you are about sin. And anything that's not the will of God and out of the will of God has to be sin. So often we're going off in directions that are not glorifying to God. You know, it seems like we're getting away from this idea of just praying for material things and changes in lifestyle or something like that. But these things are very important. Balance. And again, wisdom and knowledge of God and His ways are all important. And I detected and I made some notes about what has God provided for me to investigate and to find out what's wrong with me inside that you don't know about. And I don't know about you. That song, you know, hit home. Search me, O God. I don't want you searching my life. I'm not going to be searching yours. But will you welcome God into your life? Well, the Spirit of God carries on that wonderful ministry. That's one of the things that God uses. The Word of God is something else He uses. And this last thing I'm going to say, I think I'm on target because I've experienced it. Other people, other believers can help you discover some things in your life. And if you want to see somebody change character real quick, you tell them about something that you know about them and their lifestyle. And they don't appreciate it. And you tell them lovingly, you're wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. You're not honoring the Lord in what you're doing. You mind your own business. I'll look after my soul. I'll go to the Lord. I'll get this straightened out. You leave me alone. Resisting sometimes words that are ministered by someone that had loving care for their soul, for their testimony, and they told you to mind your own business. I know some fellows that I used to hear preach, and they would tell about people that would tell them when they were giving them the gospel and speaking to them, why don't you mind your own business? And the man would respond and say, brother, this is my business. This is my business. This is what I do. I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to see souls saved. I'm just doing what God has me to do. This is my business. You are my business. I want to win you for the Lord. Well, the Apostle Paul, I do believe, would certainly lend his voice in saying, you folks keep on praying. And whoever brings a prayer request to the meeting, pray for them. He wouldn't discourage that for a moment. But think about it, some balance in what you pray for, and pray for yourselves. You need prayer too. We all need prayer. I know a lady that she's not here anymore. She's with the Lord. She says, I come to the prayer meeting every Wednesday night, and she was here every Wednesday night. He said, I know the women are not allowed to speak out and to pray publicly, but I like to hear people pray. I like to hear prayer being made. I like to hear the Spirit of God get hold of a brother and he gets up and he prays. He's not just saying a prayer, he's praying. He's crying out to God from the depths of his soul. And the Spirit of God is energizing that prayer. He has a knowledge of the wisdom of God, and he wants to see it carried out among God's people. You might say this has something to do with ritualism, getting in a rut. We just get so we do things in a certain way, and we do it that way, and we don't want anybody to interrupt doing it that way. That's bad. Bad. Not all change is bad. I read something, and I liked it. If you look at change and you weigh it very carefully, and you come up with a solution and you say, you know what? What has just been suggested to me is a whole lot better than what I've been doing. And that happens. And you can thank God for it. And you do. But I want us to think that we need to keep open minds, open-mindedness about things. Now, not everything you see. Gibby was just sharing with me something, and we talked this week, and something that he brought to my mind today, and you may get milk and honey, and you're reminded of some things. You don't have an open mind as far as, hey, I like that idea. I like it. You don't question whether it's according to the Scriptures or not. You just say, I like it. I like it. I like that idea. It's more than that. It takes some very serious examination of what you read and be sure that you have the mind and the will of God. We need to have that kind of openness, be open to change. But you know what I'm talking about for you and me in following what I believe is the mind and the will of God and was intended by the psalmist. When he said, I want you to come into my life, into my soul, and search me. Here you got the search warrant in your hand. And we'll start out with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will come quietly into our soul. He's called the Holy Comforter. And perhaps that's the only way people see him. He's the Holy Comforter of God. He's the one that was sent to us to take the place of the Lord Jesus in ministering to us, in serving us. Yes, he's all of that. But it seems from what we have in the Psalms, what John's Gospel gives us in that 16th chapter about him, is that he has something else to do. What he has to do is something that you have to allow him to do it if he's to be effective and it's to be meaningful in your life. Not likely it'll happen unless you invite him in. I'm one of those that I don't believe that God forces himself upon anybody. I'm one of those that believes he's waiting for that move you make in response to what he has already done for you. And if you look at the Word of God and examine what he has done for you and me in the gift of his only begotten Son, that ought to be enough to win every one of our hearts away from ourselves and any self-centeredness and any independence of seeking God to come into my life. If that don't move you, what will move you? Well, the only reason you wouldn't be moved is because you are blinded by the god of this world. And that's Satan. He would not have us to honor God. He would not have us to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very image of God. He wouldn't have that to happen. But we have to encourage the Spirit of God by responding. In the 14th chapter of John, and I want us to turn there just for a moment. The time is getting away. Turn to the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. 16th chapter, pardon me. This is where the Lord Jesus Christ has introduced the whole new concept, the work of the Spirit toward the world in which we live. He tells them that it's expedient that he go away. For if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. But when I go away, when I depart, I will send him unto you. And he shall, beloved. The Spirit of God is in the world today. And when we are born again into the family of God, he takes up his dwelling place in our souls. He's with us. God in us. Isn't that something? That's a thrilling thought. We're baptized by the Spirit of God into the family of God. We're sealed with the Spirit. I've got that mark upon me. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has been put in a place where God can see it. He knows what I believe. He knows where my faith is centered. That's the work of the Spirit of God and how he has enriched our lives. He says when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Now right away, there are people that will use this in preaching the gospel, with nothing wrong with that. Sin is very real. If there's one thing the Spirit of God is sensitive about, and God is sensitive about, is sin. I don't know, sometimes, and I speak out of my own experience, if you look at television and you hear so much in the world, people are not sensitive to sin anymore. I happened to look up there and I saw that little old smoke detector up there. I said, you know, that little old gadget to save some lives. It's sensitive to smoke. You know, I read about something in one of these space centers. The guy was describing how sensitive this instrument was. He said, you know what can cause this instrument to stop functioning? Dust that can't even be seen. If it fell on this disc right here, this thing would stop operating. I thought to myself, God only knows. Would to God that we as his people would be that sensitive about sin. I know it's sin. I know it's wrong. It's not that bad, though. I'm just going to do a little bit of it. And I'm just going to take a little liberty. And if it's sometime that it may be a relationship you have with someone else. They did something to you, and knowing how you are, you're going to do it back to them, too. You're not going to let them get by with that. That's your nature. I can't help it. It's my nature. Yeah, it's your nature. Your old nature. There's nothing Christ-like about trying to get even with other people. There should be a sense of shame that overwhelms us when we discover it. I'm trying to get even. I'm going to get even. I'm going to pay back the wrong that was done to me. We should hang our heads in shame and say, God forbid, wake me up. Search me, O God. May the Spirit of God have that liberty to come right into my heart, soul, and mind. And like a vacuum cleaner that has all that power, can remove all of that stuff that's not supposed to be there. Well, Paul knows all of this takes time. And what was a victory today may not be a victory tomorrow because we have a way of forgetting. And sometimes we're not steadfast. Well, I did get out of fellowship a little. You know, my heart got a little cold, but I got back in. You usually have to get back in where you got out. But all of these things are a part of what God has provided. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, other people that I mentioned, these things can serve a useful purpose in the lives of every believer when we welcome and say, "Search me." Someone comes to see you. I want to share with you something from the Word of God. And they take and minister the Word to you. And it touches on some very sensitive area in your life. And you don't like it and you don't accept it. You've resisted the will of God. Brother Mark brought some ministry here not long ago about authority and how sometimes God's people resist that authority, not knowing that when they resist whatever is set before them, they're resisting the will of God. And they're doing hurt to themselves. And it's sin. Don't forget it. Sin. S-I-N. A little word. But oh my God, what it has done. And it started back there in that garden a long time ago. And look what it has wrought upon the face of the earth. This whole creation is under the curse of God. Mankind born with a depraved nature that is seeking to have its own way and its own will and not open to the will of God until the Spirit of God takes the Word of God. This Word so powerful. All of these things, as we meditate upon them, they just have a way of thrilling our souls to think that something we've discovered, something that has been made known to us, is real. It's real. Someone might hear me, what I'm saying, like, he's living in a fantasy world. He's just thinking about things as they could be, perhaps, but there's no true basis for it. We have the Word of God, and that was mentioned. We have other people, too, that are sometimes alert. And let me say this, brother and sister. It's one thing to pray for someone when you know that that person is out of touch with God and needs help. You can know all about it, but do you pray that God would use you to go to that person and help that person? You say, "But I might be rejected. I might destroy a friendship." It'll be worth it all if God is in it and it's for His glory and honor. And if someone gets restored to a place of usefulness, and we come to this prayer meeting and we pray together, we rejoice together, and we've reached that higher plane, we're not afraid to reach up and claim more and more from God than we ever expected Him to bless us with. How wonderful that is. So, don't think that I have put down the whole idea of material things and asking to heal people of sickness. Herb and I were just talking. You hear about me being in the hospital, and he's got all this stuff wrong with him. Let's pray that God will get well. Don't do it. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to take that trip. I don't necessarily want to get well. I want to go to be with Him. So you see what I'm getting at? There's sometimes that we pray for things and it doesn't really make sense. The Apostle Paul says, "Oh my, to go to be with Him is far better than anything in this life." So that person that we see over in the hospital and we go visit them and and they're critically ill, they're suffering, and the family is agonizing over these things, and we're praying, Lord, raise them up, raise them up. Life lingers on and on. You don't want that. I don't want that. Most of the people that I talk to about these things, they don't believe, they don't want it that way either. But medical science will preserve your life just as long as you let them keep the thing plugged in. So, to pray intelligently. When someone asks for something, and you examine it very carefully, I want you to pray about this. What do you want me to pray? How do you want me to pray about it? That I will, and then you say, I can't do that. That wouldn't be good for you. It wouldn't be good for the testimony of somebody that claims to be a Christian. I pray that the wisdom and knowledge of God will so fill your soul that you'll understand that getting well, avoiding affliction, is not always the best way to go. And the Apostle Paul gave testimony to that. He said, I've reached a point where I glory. I glory in my infirmities. Being sickness ain't bad if you are learning how to better glorify God in your life. So we sang a song. We know it came from Psalm 139. My prayer tonight is that we will allow the Spirit of God to search every one of us deep within our souls. That's my prayer. Search me, O God. If there's any wicked way, if there's anything in my life that is a hindrance to the glory of God being exemplified in my life, Lord, take it away. Take it away. You say, that sounds kind of radical. Well, you know, something that is as destructive as sin is has to sometimes be dealt with in a radical manner. And that's what I'm asking each one of us to think about tonight. Let the Spirit of God, with the Word of God, search our souls.